Dear Lord, we come today to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for this gathering here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. We pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst, that you would touch our hearts and our minds as we continue to study your word, as you guide us and lead us in all things. We're thankful today, God, for this brand new day, one we've never seen before. And for this we are glad. We are doing what it says, and that is to rejoice and be glad. So now, Lord, we invite you into our study time, our study session. We pray that you would touch the hearts and minds of those that are here, even those that may later join by way of this recording. We pray for them too, God, that they'll receive something from our lesson. Bless us, we pray. Continue to lead, God, and direct us in all things. In Jesus' wonderful name, we do ask all these blessings. Amen. All right, saints, we're so thankful that you have joined us here this morning for our Sunday morning Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship time. And we pray that you are blessed by something that is said today, that you may get something from our lesson. We're continuing our lesson series on brand new, being made brand new, having a new identity in Christ. And so that's where we are, and we're picking up where we left off from last week. And if you have your lesson, your worksheet, we are going back to Ephesians. I'm going to start. I know we did these two particular ones already, but I just want to mention them again. And that's in Ephesians 2 and 10 and 2 and 13. Ephesians 2 and 10 and 2 and 13. These are so important to us, for us to know as believers, that I just want to repeat. I think they bear repeating. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us that our new identity is in Christ. Yes, it is God who made us who we are. Let me say that one more again. Our new identity is in Christ. It is God who made us who we are. When we look to ourselves and try to be anything other than what we're supposed to be, we have to recognize that it is God that made us who we are. It is God that has placed in us purpose, placed in us ability, placed in us those things that we are supposed to be. It is God that has made us. And the word says it like this: God made us his workmanship, his masterpiece, his creation. And then he put in us things to do, purpose, to have good works, to do good works. So it is God who made us, and then he placed in us purpose, and that thou purpose would be to do good works, to bring him glory. Amen. And then Ephesians 2:13 says that God brought us near to him, that we no longer have to be known as strangers or enemies, but now as friend. And not only friend, but as family, because we saw earlier that we are now part of God's family. So I just wanted to share those two again to remind us that we are who we are because of God, and we are his workmanship, his masterpieces, and that we are friends of God. Amen. Isn't that good to know? I don't know about you, but I think that was wonderful and bared being repeated to remind us of who we are in God. And that's what this lesson is all about: who we are in God, reminding us of our identity in Christ, our brand new identity in Christ. If any man, this is our foundational verse, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. So we want to thank you so very, very much for listening to us, again, just bringing that back to you. Let's move on. Let's go to Ephesians 3 and 6. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians 3 and 6. And Once you have it, you can say amen. Praise the Lord. But Ephesians 3 and 6 says this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Let me repeat that. Ephesians 3 and 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So what's the blessing we get? Well, we are part of that Gentile crowd. Let's not mistake that, first off. We are part of that Gentile crowd. And because we are part of that Gentile crowd, we now are joint heirs or fellow heirs in Christ. And we can partake or we can share in the blessings that come through the promise of the gospel. Hallelujah. Again, we are joint heirs. Whatever was promised to those in the earlier testament that God made a covenant with, he extended that to us as Gentiles, and we have become fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Oh, be excited, saints, that you now share in the promises of God. Amen, somebody. Let's go right there. Stay right there in Ephesians 3. Let's go to verse number 12. I'll read for you verse 12. And it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What do we get because of our new identity in Christ? Well, simply put, access to God. It says right there, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Yes, our connection to God through Christ gives us access to God so that we can freely approach him with boldness or with confidence. Now, I'm going to say this now, but I'm going to repeat it a little later. We go to God not in any old kind of way. No, we have to go to him with a heart of reverence. Let me say that again. We don't go to God any old kind of way now, even though we have access to him. We go to God with reverence. Let me break it down in the natural. Let's say, perchance, you have the opportunity to meet up with the President of the United States. Whew! And you are ushered into his office, in his presence, and you are greeted by him. Well, saints, you don't walk in his office after being ushered in and greet the President of the United States any old kind of way. No, you, though you've had made been made to have access to him by invitation or however the case may be, you can go in freely, yes, but you don't approach him any old kind of way. Meaning you don't go up in there and say, yo, dude, what's up? There is a way, a protocol of you even exchanging pleasantries or greetings with the president. So, if we in the natural can't just greet dignitaries and leaders and people of status in any old kind of way, how dare we, even though we do have access to God, go to him any way we think we can or want to? No, we go to God with a heart of reverence. But we can go to God. If you recall in our Bible study lesson, in our worship experience today, that the children of Israel were afraid to go into God's presence. They feared him so much that they didn't want to go into his presence. They had Moses be the one because they understood the power and the sacredness and the holiness of God, and they didn't want to be approaching him in any kind of way. And so that's how we can choose, saints, approach our God with boldness and confidence that he will answer, that he has allowed this to be, and that he wants us there, yes, but we go to him with a heart of reverence, knowing that he is God, and beside him there is no other. Amen. I just wanted to make sure we understood that in our access to God, that we go to Him in a right heart, in a right manner. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 5, and let's look at verses 29 and 30. Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at verses 29 and 30. And let's read those. And it says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does to church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone." No one ever hated his own body, but took care of it. And that's how the Lord does to church. So what do we gain? Because of our connection to God through Christ, we are members of his body, and that body is what? The church. That's one thing. And then he cares for it the same way he cares for his own. He treats us as if we are truly part of his body or his makeup. And so, because we are members of Christ's body, he cares for us in the same way you would care for your own body. You would nourish it and treasure it and take care of it. And that's how the Lord does us, saints. He takes care of us because we are part of his body. Amen. So, on that line, we want to indicate that we are members of Christ's body and that he cares for us. Amen. All right, we're going to jump to a new book, and we're going to go over to Colossians 2 and 10. Colossians 2 and 10. Give you a few minutes, a few seconds to jump over there. Colossians 2 and 10. And now let me read what it says. It says, "And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So Colossians 2 and 10 reminds us that our identity in Christ is this, that we are complete in him. Everything we need, everything we are, should be about, everything that we need to grow and to become is in Christ Jesus. We are complete in him. Alrighty, that is good news. And again, even though we're striving to become even what God wants us to be, it's already contained in there. We don't have to go and fix it and make it. We just have to walk in it. Come on here, somebody. That's it. We just have to walk in this new life, this newness that we find in Christ Jesus. He's not trying to make it together now. It's already made. We just need to walk in it. Praise God. All right, Colossians 2 and 11, the next verse right under 10 says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." What's that saying? It says, seems like a whole lot the way it is written here in the New King James Version. But it is simply saying to us, saints, get this, that there was spiritual circumcision going on in our lives. And there was a cutting away. Here it is. A cutting away of our old sinful nature. Let me say it one more again. A spiritual circumcision was going on in our lives. Where did it take place? In our hearts. Not the fleshly part of our body, but in our heart, where God looks at our heart. And there was a cutting away of our old sinful nature. That's the circumcision that Paul is talking about here. The circumcision of the heart, the circumcision of the old way of thinking, the old attitude, the old way of doing, and a cutting away of that sinful nature. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. All right, and now let's go to our last verse there. And we're going to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse number 10. Alrighty, let me read that last verse there for you. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let me say it one more again. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying, I endure all these things with you who are the elect. We are, get this, write this down, the elect of God. We are part of the elect of God, the chosen of God, to receive the salvation offered to those that are willing to receive it. We are the elect of God. And then we walk and live towards this eternal glory that is ours in our future. Glory, glory. This eternal glory is offered to us as we live for God. This eternal glory is ours to proclaim and to claim for us being part of God's elect. Amen. All right, so those are items we find in our Bible that identifies us with this new identity. All right, and we've gone down a laundry list of verses that point to the new identity or this true identity we find in Christ Jesus. Again, remember, saints, that we are refined and defined by our continual growing relationship with Christ. Again, this new life comes by our faith in Jesus. That's where it starts. And with that, we continue to grow and to become who He has made us. We've already been made. We just got to walk into this newness that God has already created in us. Amen. If you want to take it this way, think about when you were growing up, and sometimes mom would buy you an outfit, sometimes two sizes too big, and you'd be like, oh, that's too big. She said, girl, boy, you're gonna wear that because one day you're gonna grow into it. Well, that's our new life. It's already made. It's already created. We just got to walk in it and grow in it and to become all that God has said that we are. Amen. That's why we are complete in Christ. Amen. Everything we need to be and to know how to be, we can find it in Him. So again, if you have missed any of these, we invite you to call our office and get our answer key. It's always available. And then of course you can always check back at our website and review our recordings, and of course you will have the answers there. But we are thankful today that we've been able to go down this list of attributes and characteristics and lessons we find being connected to Christ. Part 4 says that liberty and freedom is found in this brand new life with Christ. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that saying? You're free. Don't go back to being enslaved by the sin that can so easily enslave us. You have been made free in Christ. There is liberty in Christ. Hear this. No longer are we dead in our transgressions, objects of wrath and God's enemies. Remember, we talked about being God's friends, enslaved to sin, but we are through faith in the risen Savior, made alive with Christ, and shown God's mercy and grace, and offered or given his salvation. Saints, we are his children, free in Christ to love, to serve, and to sit with him in heavenly places. And we will eventually be raised up with Christ to glory. Amen. So the freedom found in Christ is not for us, here it is, to do whatever or to live however we want, but rather to live and to do what pleases God. Paul, in this verse of Galatians 5:1, is encouraging the readers to stand strong in that freedom, in that thought. Stand firm, stand strong in the freedom from sin that is found in Christ. And then he says, Paul, don't go back. Don't become entangled again with the old sinful nature. Walk in that newness in Christ. Paul also cautions the readers, because many times he was writing to converts from the Jewish faith who were known to live under the law, the laws of Moses. So he had to sometimes go and correct that thinking. And so he says here, don't get entangled again or caught up in the legalistic ways or the traditional dharma. And that's for us too. Don't get caught up in the tradition of that's how it used to be and that's the way it should be. Come on, let's walk in the freedom that is in Christ. Don't get bound again. Don't let those legalistic ways bind us again. You have been pulled out from under the laws, strong or restrictive ways of living, and you have been given freedom in Christ to live for God. And so as we try to live out our salvation, let us know today that we have been given the opportunity in Christ to live free. Hallelujah. There is liberty in Christ. I just want to say this, and you can underline it on your worksheet. There is freedom, but with responsibility. Let me say that once more again. There is freedom, but with responsibility. Last time I'm going to say it, but I think it bears repeating one more again. There is freedom, but with responsibility. Amen. And with that, I want you to add, I know it's not on your worksheet, but I thought this was a blessing to us. On Wednesday night, our pastor brought a beautiful message, Bible study to the Queen's Ministry, and I just want to share this, and I want you to add it right there with the words responsibility. Write down these thoughts. His lesson dealt with our responsibility to God. And what was our responsibility to God? He pointed out that, one, we must love God. Write this down. We must fear God, and not fear, be afraid. But yes, be afraid, because don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God. But also the fear of reverence and honor and respecting God. So love God, fear God, obey God, and worship God. Let me say that again. Our responsibility is not to live any old kind of way, but to love God, fear God, obey God, and worship God. And then, you know, I always got to add 2 cents to everything. I put down also that we need to be his witnesses. Amen. We are called to be his witnesses. That's our responsibility to God, to let somebody else know about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. So, our freedom in Christ comes with all that we talked about, this brand new life in Christ. But that freedom comes with responsibility, and that is not to live any old kind of way, but live to please God, not trying to get entrapped again by the sinful old nature or the legalistic ways, but living under the freedom found in Christ. And then note that we have a responsibility in this new life, in this brand new life, we have a responsibility to love our God, fear our God, obey our God, worship our God, and be His witness. And we're going to stop right there and say to you, God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer. We pray that you have received something on today from our lesson, Brand New Identity in Christ. We're going to conclude on our next Sunday with the ending of our series. And we pray that you come back and join with us. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer indeed. And we look forward to seeing you again at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. God bless. This is Elder Barry Ellis. Take care and enjoy your day.